It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go. Hour number 2 of the Drive underway on Fan Run Radio. Time for your Top 4 at 4. For that, we send things over to Tucker Harlan. Tucker, what do you got?
Thank you, Russell. At number 1, Tennessee has landed another basketball transfer in former Ohio State big man Felix Akpara. Akpara averaged 6.5 points and rebounds to go with over 2 blocks a game at Ohio State this year. We mentioned earlier this week he fouled out in 16 minutes against Zach Edey in Ohio State's win over Purdue.
Upgrade, downgrade, or lateral move from Edu around the rim?
Defensive upgrade, offense TBD.
Tucker?
If he can throw it down consistently like I've seen in these highlight clips, because Edu missed several of the bunnies, and if Akpara is sure not to do that and he can upgrade his offensive game, score at a higher clip, then yes, it's an upgrade.
Fair?
I'm going to say, what was the middle one? Lateral?
Yeah.
Very similar. To me, these two guys are like the Spider-Man meme. I know I said that earlier. Very similar.
It's kind of where I'm at.
Some subtle. I think each one of them do have something that the other one doesn't do, so.
I'm just hoping that we have a real situation where you've got 4 guys on the floor who can really shoot it, and then we don't need him to give much offense.
Other than just, you know, dunk.
Clean up around the bucket.
Yeah. Dunk misses and rebound, and then on defense, obviously, alter shots, block shots, and just rim protect.
At number 2, Tennessee will take on Missouri this weekend in a 3-game series at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. First pitch tonight is at 7:30, 6:30 tomorrow, and noon on Saturday. Chris Stamos and Drew Beam will start tonight and tomorrow. No announcement just yet on a Saturday starter, so evidently Xander Seacrest has not won that role.
I thought he had a pretty good start Sunday.
I thought he did too, but they just didn't announce it in the game notes. So,
Well, I guess we will see. Hard to argue with anything Tony Vitello is doing right now. It really feels like he's pushing all the right buttons with this group.
What are we wearing tonight?
Not seen that just yet.
It'll be the white with the
that would make sense.
Nike font.
Have you noticed the baseball team, the orange on the baseball and softball teams is like spot on year in and year out?
Nike's done a good job with the orange lately.
Like they nail it for the two spring sport teams.
I was in Alumni Hall the other day, and they've got a really cool Helton throwback jersey. I almost bought one, and then I realized, I'm not really a jersey guy. But the orange is a little bit off, but it's still so cool. Like, it almost makes it better than
Helton
it's
on the back.
Yeah.
Wait, was it a little light?
Sewed on letters.
Yeah, well, it was a little off, frankly. Like, if you compare the orange now to what they wore then.
Oh, no, the orange was a little bit darker.
Oh, really?
A little heavier.
Interesting.
It's an early 90s look we had. Who was making him by Sports Bell?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Wow.
At number 3, the NFL draft opens tonight. You'll see the first round airing at 8 o'clock. You can watch it on ESPN. The Chicago Bears have the first pick, barring any pre-draft trades. Our Titans are picking at 7.
Now, I did see something, boys. I'm a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. That milk-drinking, pleated pant-wearing knucklehead out there at San Diego has said that I've heard rumors that he wants Alt.
I mean, that's been out there.
There was some other rumor today. John was talking that he's hearing he wants that road grader guard. Oh, I can't remember. Or maybe maybe he's a right tackle.
Yeah, no, the guy from Bama.
Latham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know,
because apparently they've already got a pretty good left tackle.
Yeah, well, it was Peter Schrager who put out that mock of the Chargers taking Latham, the Titans trading down to 11, but still getting Joe Alt.
What do you guys think? All right, so Bears going to take Williams. Commies take Jaden Daniels?
I don't know. I'm here. I saw where everybody's kind of split on that. Like front office people.
Well, who do you want?
I don't care because I'm not a fan of the franchise.
It's going to be a quarterback-heavy top 10.
Patriots take Drake May.
I'm confused. Like, JJ McCarthy has just gone way up in the stock for whatever reason of these.
There is no reason. There's no rhyme or reason to any of this.
Cardinals take Marvin Harrison.
I've got them taking Marvin Harrison.
That's the one pick that I'm absolutely certain of.
They need receivers bad.
What, just Harrison to the Cardinals?
Harrison to the Cardinals.
Or just, okay. I don't know if you meant that or that he's going to be good no matter where he goes, but I got you.
No, I mean, that's been the one constant. They're taking Marvin Harrison Jr. if he's still there. I don't know why he wouldn't.
On the note of quarterbacks, at number four, quarterback Jaden Rashada has committed to Georgia. Rashada committed to Florida out of high school but went to Arizona State instead. That was over NIL disputes. Rashada played in three games but missed the bulk of the season due to injury with the Sun Devils.
Look forward to watching him bleed in Neyland Stadium when they play us. I hate him.
I hate it when I bring like bad news to the show that ends up being right.
Maybe you shouldn't speak it into existence then.
I just heard it was done. The minute he entered the portal, it was like, yeah, Georgia.
Does he scare you?
I wouldn't say he scares me, but him at Georgia, I don't love
Surrounded
it.
By that talent?
Yeah.
They don't need any help.
Check.
So I guess he's just banking on riding the pine this year behind
Beck,
Buscemi, yep, and then being the guy next year.
That dude is very odd looking at me. Very androgynous.
He's like a mix of like five actors that are all cartoon faces anyway.
He's like straight out of Beavis and Butthead. Yeah. From all the.
Well, he's got those gigantic like horse teeth that kind of protrude.
Yeah.
He's got those bug eyes. I wonder if he's got Graves' disease.
Been getting a lot of Beavis and Butthead on my YouTube feed here lately. I can't tell if they're old episodes or new episodes, which I kind
of
like.
They're all funny. Every damn one of them. What's your favorite?
I don't know. The one I saw today was they're sitting out on the curb, and Mr. Anderson comes up and says, "Boys, if you wanna win her hand, get up off your keister and go get her." Yeah. So they like go up to the guy, to the house, the girl they're smitten with, and the dad answers, and they're like, "We're here for your daughter's hand."
Oh, I've seen that one. My favorite is still when they completely misunderstand that whole white privilege thing.
Yeah.
Is that a moderner? More moderner. Yeah. Moderner. Yeah. Put that one in your pipe.
Yeah, Beavis.
Is that a more modern episode? Yeah. Is that on like the new run?
Huh?
Like the newest run?
Yeah.
Okay. I need to check out some of those. I haven't watched any of them yet.
It's that whole bit's pretty funny.
Thank you, Tucker. Quality top four at four, if I do say so myself. We got our buddy Joe Rexroad coming up here from The Athletic in 102.5 The Game in Nashville to join the festivities with us momentarily. If you want to jump in, now's a good time to take a shot. 865-288-3131, your number, 288-3131. If you want to chime in today, did anybody see the Bears' proposal for a new $5 billion? Yes, you heard that correctly.
Billion?
$5 billion.
How are they going to pay for
Dome
this?
Stadium on the Lake Michigan waterfront, just south of where Soldier Field is now.
Who's going to pay for that? $5 billion. A significant
move to Chicago and find out.
a significant portion of their city is referred to as Chirac, but they're going to come up with $5 billion for a damn stadium?
I had not heard the total, but I did see the renderings. I'm also a big rendering guy. They look pretty awesome. Like, it looks so cool.
It does look cool.
But
I think
getting in and out of there would be a nightmare.
I thought the outside of the stadium looked just like Allegiant in Vegas.
Yeah.
And the inside looks just like the Titans.
I mean, it's Soldier Field. Why not just take $2 billion and completely rehab? So I don't know.
I think they proposed that. I think there are reasons they can't. And like they always say, well, why not just put a roof on it? How many times have we heard that conversation about stadiums through the years? Well, just go ahead and put a roof on the existing stadium. It's never happened.
Never. Not one time has it been done. Of course, I wonder if all these, you know, developers and team owners, it's like, well, why spend $2 million when I can
that's
spend
exactly what
$5
million? They're going to put it there.
It's not that. They get into when they get into the details, I mean, think about how much of a headache it must be to add a retractable roof to an already existing stadium. And what I think once they crunch the numbers, I think they do get into, like, I think for the Titans, and they looked at it, it's like, well, to even make Nissan Stadium, you know, a viable option for the next 20 years is going to require at least $500 million.
I thought it was more than that.
Yeah, it was like $1 billion.
So why not just go ahead and do a $2 billion stadium?
Get something brand new and have everything you want.
I would hate to see Chicago have a roof. Why would you want to give up that advantage as a franchise? Like, if I were the Vikings, I wouldn't play in a dome. I would dare anybody to come up there in the middle of January and beat me.
Because right now they're a disaster franchise, and even when they're bad, they want people to still be able to come to the games. If Chicago was good, I don't think they would have put a roof on it.
Well, I think more and more it's all these stadiums, whether it's football or baseball or even basketball arenas, it's about fan comfort and luxury. Mm-hmm. And you got to – I mean – we talk about it all the time. I'd rather watch the game at home. I've got my recliner. I've got my 75-inch screen. I've got my restrooms, my snacks. Everything's, you know, moderately – well, it's yeah. free once you get it home and everything. You have to lure people out of the house to do anything nowadays. And so these stadiums are actually – they're getting smaller. Have you seen what's going on with the Guardians Stadium in Cleveland?
No.
No.
Used to be Jacobs Field. It's one of the best, you know – modern retro ballparks in America, a great place to go watch a game, and yet they're having trouble filling it, even though the Guardians/Indians have been not terrible the past couple of years, and they're taking out seats. So first they took out some of the upper deck seats in right field, and now they've taken out some of the upper deck seats in left field, and you're getting these patches of like empty seats where they can't take out the, you know, outer structure of the stadium, and it just looks terrible. They're ruining what used to be a pretty good looking ballpark.
What's their plan with that space?
Well, they tried to do some luxury seatings like party decks in right field, mm-hmm. but it didn't really work out. The fans ended up calling it the shipping containers because it looked so bad.
Yeah,
and they're trying that more now in left, but it just looks awful.
Have you seen? I for the first time ever saw full on like. From above shot of the entire Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. Have you ever really taken a look at that thing?
Can't say I have.
Half the stadium is like the press box and all these luxury suites, and then like the other half looks like a regular stadium. Yeah. It's very odd.
I mean, that's kind of what we did with Thompson Bowling, which was modeled off Phillips Arena.
Mm.
So,
I don't know if it still looks like that, but when I went to see the Hawks play one year,
mm-hmm.
it was half of that arena is – I mean, like way down too, like not even lower deck.
That's what
very weird.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Mike Hamilton fell in love with. Was it, you know,
wait, is that Phillips? Am I an idiot?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize it was. I forgot it was Phillips.
Yeah, that's he loved that, and I mean, I think Thompson Bowling looks.
I think
good.
Thompson Bowling looks fine.
How much longer do you think Thompson Bowling will be around?
I mean, I don't really think that's a conversation people are having. So I would assume at least 20, 30 years, if not longer.
Hmm.
I mean, the conversations they're having are renovating it and using some of the dead space on the, I guess it would be the south side of the arena underneath the sideline opposite the where the benches are.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of empty warehouse hangar-like space in there.
That's exactly what it is.
Could be transformed into, as Danny White likes to say, premium areas.
A lot of room for premium areas inside of Thompson Bowling Arena.
You've just blown my mind. Hold on a second.
Don't strain yourself.
Did they switch which side of the floor the teams are on for basketball games?
No.
If you're sitting on the south side of the arena, you'll be looking at you won't be looking at the players.
They yeah, you would
be facing you.
Yeah, you would.
Their backs are to you.
No.
On the south side?
Yes.
Yes, Bear.
There's no way.
I don't know what to tell you, bud.
There's no way.
I mean, there every summer for 12 years
and for a long time as well.
Every day for 4 years.
Do we need to send you over there with a compass or something to believe us? Or?
Yeah.
The teams sit on the north side facing the Tennessee River if the building was removed. If the south side would be facing the players.
I don't feel like they've always done that.
That's for 40 years. Let's get Will in here. I believe he's got a belated, but hey, better late than never, answer to our Tennessee baseball trivia question. Will, are you there?
I believe I am, yes.
You believe you are there.
I believe him.
All right, Houston can sign off on that, okay. So that's good enough for me. All right, here's the question if you're just joining us. It's been a minute. Drew Beam, 42 career starts, breaking the tie for fourth all-time. Who has the most starts in Tennessee baseball history?
Is it R.A. Dickey?
It is R.A. Dickey.
I don't have any.
Former Brave.
DJ Khaled!
Congratulations! Will, you win two tickets to tonight's Tennessee baseball game against Missouri. Yeah, R.A. Dickey, 54 career starts. I don't know that Drew Beam is going to get there. We would have to probably make it all the way to Omaha, right? He's got, what, four more starts in SEC play, maybe a start in Hoover, maybe a start in a regional, super regional. He could get to 50. But we'll see. Will, do you want to go to the game tonight?
I believe not only would I, but Mrs. Will would also.
Hey, like date night. Here we go.
Romance.
Right. Hang right there, Will. We're going to get your phone number and email address. I cannot stress this enough how badly I need these two pieces of information. Really hope the guys on the other side of the room are listening. All right. Thank you, Will. We appreciate that. 865-288-3131, your number to get on the show.
They hang up. Man, good for him.
I just hang up on him.
Take a quick time out. Back with more Fan Run Radio right after this.
The Drive. Check out our new and improved website.
All right, here we go. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Russell and Tucker back with you. Bear in Houston here as well. Ready to welcome in Joe Rexrode of The Athletic and 102.5 The Game in Nashville. Hello, Joe. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Russell. How are you doing, man?
Doing very well, thank you. How does a guy who has to do morning radio in Nashville prepare for draft night?
Well, it's also been the nice Preds 9 p.m. start time.
Ooh,
week. So
lovely.
Yeah, I've become a pretty good napper. So I haven't. There's too much running around today, but this week I have definitely had a couple real good ones. And that's you got to do it, man. You got to get some naps in.
Nice. Well, and you got to be careful too with that. People listen. Got a pot of coffee. It'd be all right, but. That's a dangerous game to play, right, Joe? You drink that caffeine too late. Next thing you know, you're up at 2 a.m. with that alarm set to go off thinking, what have I done?
Right. I mean, just to go to the bathroom if nothing else. There's just so many factors.
Joe Rexrode with us this afternoon. All right, Joe. So we have debated endlessly. I mean, I'm sick of talking about this. I can't imagine how you guys must feel in Nashville doing radio there. What do the Titans do, stick and pick, or do they get cute tonight?
Well, it's a good question, and yes, very sick of it, very sick of all of it. I can't wait to see. I mean, I'm excited, because it's actually happening tonight. But the build-up and the hype and the information and the misinformation and the mock drafts, I mean, it's gotten so overwhelming with the NFL draft now, which is why I'm grateful that we have, things like Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA playoffs, college baseball, actual sports that are going on, which I prefer. But, I think the Titans, if I had to make a guess, I've made a guess, and it's Joe Alt at number 7, the Notre Dame tackle. It's a very, very widely kind of believed pick, kind of boring, but I think it would be a good pick. I think it's very possible that they are looking at Alt and maybe a really talented receiver like maybe a Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze. And honestly, I would not blame them at all, wouldn't begrudge them at all if they went receiver instead. As far as you mentioned getting cute, you know, look, if someone wants to trade into seven, I mean, you certainly have to listen if you're the Titans. If you can, you know, if you can move back a few spots and then still, you know, get an offensive tackle that's valuable, I mean, I think it could be a really good situation. They don't have a third-round pick, so if they could add another top 100 pick or so and still come away with, you know, a player that they've identified, and there's a ton of tackles and receivers in this draft, I think that could be an ideal situation. It's just, again, a question of, is there someone knocking on the door at seven saying, hey, we need to get in there? The problem for them on that is, you know, they don't have – the three teams directly behind them are not quarterback-needy teams, right? So, you know, that's where you can obviously have an opportunity to trade down, is when you got a team that is looking to get in there. Once the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins, before they got Cousins, it looked like it might be perfect. It's like, oh, the Falcons might need to pop up, you know, or someone might try to jump ahead of the Falcons by a spot, and now it's not that. But there's still definitely a potential that they could get that kind of opportunity.
Yeah, that's where you can really fleece some teams. You get quarterback desperate teams in there, somebody yep. trying to move up to get. Are you buying the J.J. McCarthy hype? I mean, this guy has come out of nowhere. So I did not even realize that was a thing until – yesterday, the guys laid it on me, but apparently some teams are kicking the tires there. Some thought that he might go top 10. I got to be honest, Joe, the next draft pick I make will be my first, but I just don't see it with him.
You know, he's really interesting. I've always bought it in terms of the talent. I mean, he is a tremendous athlete. He's got a big arm. I think he makes all the throws. He makes some spectacular throws. And also, he played for Michigan, so there were games where it's like, hey, J.J., handoff 38 times and throw 9 and we're good, you know, and I think that's the thing. But honestly, I feel I am more confident in him as a prospect after, you know, this season and after what he did. I mean, even the Alabama game, that offense shorted out for a lot of that second half, but he did have to make some big plays, some big throws late in that game to, you know, to force overtime. So I don't think he's a top 5 pick. I think he's clearly behind the top 3 guys, you know, which would be obviously Williams, May, and Daniels. But I'm not totally out on him. I mean, I think you tell me right now that J.J. McCarthy is going to become a good NFL starter. I don't have a shocked face. I mean, I think it's just hard to evaluate him because he played for a team with the best offensive line in college football this year, and he just never had the stuff put on him that other quarterbacks did at other programs.
Well, it also underscores the nature of the league in that you either have a quarterback or you don't, and if you don't have one, you're desperate for one and you're willing right. to try anything. Do you think the Titans, obviously they are going to give Will Levis his shot. Do you look at it, Joe, like it's a one-year audition and we'll know by the end of the year, provided he, you know, something crazy doesn't happen, he doesn't get hurt in the first game or something, but do you think we'll know whether or not Levis is a guy that you move forward with for a number of years at the end of this season? Or is there a scenario you could see playing out where you get through the year, he plays all right, but you still don't know? I'm going to have to see more out of Will Levis before we anoint him the franchise QB.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more likely that there's no 100% answer after this season. Obviously, if he's great, and it's like, holy cow, look what, you know, they've got lightning in a bottle, okay. Or if he's awful, then okay. I mean, certainly in the NFL, more than ever before, teams move on, right, from these young quarterbacks. And look at the whole 21 draft of these amazing QBs, like they're all discarded basically except for Trevor Lawrence, and even he isn't exactly lighting the world on fire. But to me, I mean, look at Marcus Mariota. I mean, he, you know, and I know it's different when you're the number 2 pick and you're the top pick of the second round. But Mariota, promising rookie year, actually pretty darn good second year. Kind of underwhelming third year. He did win a playoff game. Hurt a lot in his fourth year. It's kind of going the wrong way. I mean, it went until midway through his fifth year when they finally moved on from him, you know. And I mean, the most likely scenario, I think, with all these guys is they're pretty good to good. And so then it becomes this, okay, so we can win with him if we have enough around him, but he's not carrying a franchise like how many guys in the league do? Five? You know, he's not Aaron Rodgers, he's not Patrick Mahomes, whatever. I mean, I think – so that's a long way of answering. Going back to my answer, I think it's way more likely that Will Levis, you can just count on him starting the next 2 years, you know, and then we'll see. But, you know, you have to start with giving him a chance to drop back and look at the field, because last year the Titans, I think, arguably had the worst offensive line, they had the worst pass protection, they had the worst left tackle, and it's been 2 years of that. And so you have to protect him and give him a chance to see what he can do. I think when he did have protection, when they were able to, you know, hold up, max protect, scheme up some time for him, I thought he was pretty good last year.
Sure. Joe Rexroad with us, The Athletic, 102.5 The Game in Nashville. Joe, what else do you look for the Titans to get done this weekend in the draft?
Well, I think, like I said, I'm guessing Joe Alt. I'm not shocked if it's a receiver. I just don't see anybody else. Now, there is the Brock Bowers. And I'm a fan. I mean, I think any of us who watch SEC football, I would think, would be like, yeah, I can see that guy being a problem for defenses in the NFL. But I think it's, you know, I think it's one of those two, wide receiver or tackle tonight. And just based on the board and, like, where some of the premium players are, I think their next pick is 38. I think it's, like, whichever one they don't take, I would really look at that at 38. And, you know, like I said, no third-round pick. They have to get an inside linebacker. To me, they have to get another defensive tackle. It's Jeffrey Simmons and a bunch of guys off the street right now. I think they could really use another edge. I mean, they got holes. They got holes all over the place. And, you know, receiver right now immediately isn't a hole because they signed Calvin Ridley and they have DeAndre Hopkins for another year. But I just think there's just so much receiver talent in this draft. To get a young guy and a rookie deal – And let that receiver grow with Levis, I think, would be wise. So, and I didn't even mention safety. Any one of those two. So, they do not have enough picks to address all they need, Russell.
It's just so amazing, the receiver conversation. I'm thinking back to last year and how desperate they were and really couldn't do anything about it in the first round because you had to take Skoronski. But then how they just almost – purposefully, gleefully neglected to take a receiver.
And kind of flipped the fan base the bird, as we all thought they were going to make the move.
And here we are, Joe, a year later, and I don't think it's a dominant receiver room or anything like that, but it's pretty good. It's adequate. I don't think they're receiver desperate like they were a year ago.
Right. Well, and the thing is, you know, obviously the biggest way they addressed it was getting in there and outbidding everybody for Hopkins, and that is one thing to keep in mind. Like, I think in particular at safety, you've got some Justin Simmons, some other guys out there, veterans who, you know, like, I'd be actually kind of be surprised if they address safety because they, like, they've got veteran options to deal with that later. But, yeah, I mean, it looked brutal. And now, you know, it looks, again, like I said, pretty good, but like, Hopkins is one more year. And Ridley's 29. I mean, obviously, you sign him to that deal, you're hoping that he's good for the duration of the deal, but they really do need a young playmaker, I think. And there are just so many possibilities in this draft.
Joe Rexroad kicking it with us this afternoon on the program. Joe, I'll give you a multiple choice question here. College basketball, it's a better sport, worse sport, or about the same in this new era where most teams find themselves having to completely remake their roster after every season?
Well, it's a worse sport. I will say that there are some cool things about it, right? Which is like when an Armando Bacot, you know, some of these bigs who have stayed around because they're like, shoot, I can make some good NIL money and I'm like a fringe NBA player. Whereas in the past, they're just gone. I mean, they're going to get paid. And you know what? If it doesn't work out in the NBA, okay, G League or you go to Europe, but they're not staying in college basketball. So there are some stories like that, but even with a lot of those guys, they'll still switch programs like Hunter Dickinson did going from Michigan to Kansas. So it's a worse sport. It's just not, you know, if you're a fan, I think we talked about this years ago when, you know, the one and done rule came into play and it was like, you know, fans can't get sort of like, you know, like to latch on to guys like they used to, right? Watch them grow from freshmen and see all the improvements and, you know, all that stuff. I mean, so like, it's not like it's a new discussion, it's just different. But to me, just the constantly get in the portal and see what you can get and everybody has a new brand new roster. I don't think that's good for fans in the long run. Like Vols fans, hey, a year ago there wasn't like a parade when they got Dalton Connect, and then he almost got them to the first Final Four in school history. So it can be great for a particular team. And I think with Vols fans in particular, like, they do have guys like, obviously, Zakai Ziegler and Mayshak who are here for the long haul. So, like, Rick Burns has built a program where there's still been this core of players who has been there, which I think makes it better for the fan experience. But still, I mean, Adu kind of just leaving him in a lurch. And, you know, I know that they just replaced him pretty effectively. Overall, yeah, it's worse, I think.
Yeah, I think it's hard for Tennessee fans to judge, Joe, because – the Vols are arguably in the best run in program history right now. Yeah. So I think Tennessee fans kind of dig it right now. But I could also see if you're one
it
of those.
It could turn very quickly.
If you're one of those teams that's struggling and trying to rebuild and just gain a foothold, it might be a little frustrating.
Exactly. And again, like, that's where they're in a great position, because obviously they have all the advantages, you know, in college athletics just from a department standpoint. And so, you know, and booster standpoint and everything. Like, they're going to be competitive with anybody else out there in terms of resources. But also, because Rick Barnes has built this program where he is developing players and he is keeping this core, but so many programs don't have that. Like, it's all portal, right? And it's like, just, you know, shake the Etch-a-Sketch and just start over. Yeah. And that just, yeah, it's tough, man. And so, like, for now, it is great. And you're right, it's a golden era. But, you know, when Rick Barnes is gone, can you sustain that?
Yep. We'll find out. Hopefully not for a few more years. Joe, we appreciate it, my friend. Enjoy the draft tonight. And, yeah, put on that pot of coffee first thing in the morning.
Oh, you got it. You know I will, man. You know I will.
All right, thanks, Joe.
Appreciate it.
He's at Joe Rex Road on X. You can listen to him weekday mornings on 102.5 The Game in Nashville. And, of course, you can read his work at The Athletic, where he does a fantastic job. It's Joe Rex Road in Nashville. Quick timeout. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
Just Blaze.
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby. Killer. Oh, the girl see them. Look at his kicks.
It's Fan Run Radio. The drive continues. Joe Rex Road of The Athletic. Bear, what did you learn?
The interesting part, and it's kind of a...
That might not be fair.
The conundrum that we're going to be in with Levis this season, like, you got to hope it's either really super successful or really, really bad, so you can make a decision going forward what you want to do at the quarterback position.
That's the rule in the NFL, right? You want to be really good or stink.
Thought
being
you
in
had
the,
me, didn't you?
Being in the middle, not fun.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to cut you any slack. I mean, you were in here for the tail end of that for the last
basketball
3 or 4 minutes.
Portion
so.
Of it. But, yeah, the Levis stuff, just because we still don't know.
We don't know that.
Nightmare scenario is Malik Nabers and Joe Alt being gone by the time.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, if you're the Titans, do you try and aggressively trade back and pick up, you know, maybe get towards the back end of the first round to where you could still possibly get the kid from, how do you say his name?
Olufashinu.
Yeah, from Penn State. And pick up maybe a third-round pick, because it's like Joe said, we've got more holes than we have draft picks this year.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, he kind of hinted also that the break glass in case of emergency might be Bowers, and apparently there's some growing rumors that might be the case. How would you feel?
New management loves Bowers. My guy David on Twitter says, prediction, Bowers will have the biggest impact of any rookie in 2024. I think, I guess I could be talked into it. It just feels like we have so much bigger needs. Like, we, you know, Chig is a good tight end.
I don't know about that.
You know?
He's not on the same level as Bowers. He doesn't have the same ceiling.
We know that. We haven't seen Bowers play yet.
But, you know, Chig flashed his rookie season, but it's just riddled with drops last year. So unless he just makes a big jump this year, I don't really think I could be convinced on Chig.
These guys all want Bowers, man. You don't even have to twist their arms.
They've watched a lot of SEC football. They've seen Bowers running through. They're like, it's Mike Alstott at the tight end position. And we don't know.
But I would prefer Joe Alt over Brock Bowers.
It makes me nervous. The Titans can't afford to miss at all.
They have played out the scenarios a billion times, and they have a plan for every possible outcome. If there's no Joe Alt, if there's no neighbors, they know exactly what they're going to do. And I would hope so, anyway. I hope Rand's not sitting there eating a sandwich. He's like, wait a minute. Both our guys are going. What are we doing? Panic. Draft Joe Milton. They've got a plan. They'll figure something out. Shout out to Maribel Will.
I'm just going to mark the tape on that one.
Come back to get me. Maribel Will and Mrs. Maribel Will going to the ball game tonight on Fan Run. It's going to be a lovely evening.
Yeah, it really is.
I don't think it's tonight, but 8 years ago was the night, the infamous draft where, I can't believe it's been 8 years, when,
yeah.
Was it Laramie Tunsil?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Oh, that was so magical.
I felt so bad for that kid. He looked so happy when he pulled that gas mask off. So happy.
There have been some great moments. Do we get a meme or two tonight? I mean,
oh, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope we get, you know.
Levis got memed.
Yeah, he did.
A lot last year.
Smoking hot girl.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
We get to play mom or girlfriend tonight?
Sure.
I guess the good news for Laramie Tunsil is things have worked out just fine for him in the NFL.
Well, Will West on Twitter had a really good point. He goes, it's amazing how little people, like, if that came out now, people wouldn't care.
People would laugh at it, but it wouldn't have been the, he may slide 10, 12, 15 spots.
It wouldn't
after
have
this.
Cost him
the Tunsil thing?
Millions and millions of dollars.
Well, it wasn't, I mean, the thing that was shocking about it was clearly somebody sabotaging him.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact detail. Was it? It was his stepdad or something.
Yeah, something involving somebody who had a handler or.
Mm-hmm.
It was really dirty.
Wasn't it right in there where the Ole Miss info started leaking about cable bills and
it got the right reverend in trouble?
Yeah,
because that's when it hit that those idiots down there were. I mean, they were as dumb as Pruitt. I mean, they had coaches handling money.
Yeah, they're just better coaches.
Cornbread.
You had the C.D. Lamb double cell phone. Girlfriend tries to look at the cell phone.
I've seen one that's come across a lot today. The Russell Wilson fiance at the time, not Ciara.
That was a really unfortunate picture of that young lady.
Thought she had it made. Thought she had struck gold.
Getting ready to get traded in for a Bentley.
That upgrade button, didn't he?
Aston Martin.
Belichick's dog. Back in the COVID draft.
That was pretty funny.
The one of Vrabel. Do you remember that? Where there was a reflection off of the mirror and it looked like it was somebody sitting on the toilet.
It was his son.
With the door open while they're filming the family for the NFL draft. That was really funny.
Well, you had a lot of things going on in that picture. It wasn't just that part. I didn't notice that till later on because you had one of his sons wearing, like, one of his old Pro Bowl jerseys and some other dude in a morph suit in there.
Yeah, there was a bunch of shenanigans going on. I'm sure it was all intentional.
Was Aaron Rodgers the original
green room
slide in the green room guy?
Yes, absolutely.
And it worked out fine for him.
Do you remember, not draft-related, remember when Urban Meyer was getting interviewed, and I guess he was out on his boat, and some guy came in holding a joint? And he's like motioning the guy to get off camera.
It wasn't a joint. You could see the bong in the reflection of his bookshelf. And he's just like, and the guy's just like, ooh.
Urban Meyer doing bong rips.
You know, he was right before and after that.
Two reefer references for Bear this segment. Go for the trifecta. You know, you got it in you.
Well, I mean, you got to figure he's doing it. I mean, if there's a bong sitting around, everybody's taking rips, right?
I'm not a grass expert.
What'd
I don't
know.
Say?
I've been around bongs that
have been being passed around, and you didn't. You just said no thanks.
Yeah.
Everybody look at you funny.
Pass on grass.
Who brought the narc?
High on life, man.
To quote Eazy-E, we weren't. We didn't just say no. We were too busy saying yeah, Russell.
Not looking forward to the cringy man hugs from the commissioner.
Or the dap-ups.
Roger Goodell trying to look hip, trying to look
the handshakes
cool.
That they've worked on all week.
Do you wish somebody would just, like, hug me, like, no.
I don't know. Sometimes there are some genuinely funny ones, like when the offensive linemen grab him and pick him up.
Yeah.
Like, that's funny. But then there are some that are just...
Roger Goodell is going to get himself hurt one of these days. He's getting too old to be picked up by Joe Alt.
I agree.
You just killed the commissioner. Welcome Ding to dong, the league.
I feel like a lot of people would take joy in that that breaking news.
Nice.
I'm not me, but diehard NFL fans hate Roger Goodell.
Why?
I don't know. Guy's made billions of dollars for a lot of people.
All the commissioners are hated.
I guarantee you John Gruden wouldn't lose any sleep if he killed over on national TV.
Wait a minute. John Gruden.
Now, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
Body. Yeah. I wonder what's happening with his lawsuit where all that stuff was going to be brought out. All the emails. He did get kind of dirty, didn't he?
Gruden.
He kind of did it to himself, but he also got absolutely targeted.
His privacy was invaded, man.
And
First Amendment rights and whatnot.
Yeah, man.
Right to privacy. Did you see the footage of Rob Manfred being confronted by a fan over the weekend?
I did not.
It might have been over the weekend. I saw it over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, I did.
What did the guy say to him? He said, Manfred, you wanna make baseball better? Stop. What did he say? I can't
even
remember.
Stop the blackouts.
Stop the blackouts, man. And then he called him
I thought he called him a dumbass. Was it worse than that?
Maybe it was. I don't know. He said
you
that.
You can tell that Rob Manfred's not used to somebody just walking over
like that. It might have been bleep face. Now that I think about it, I can't remember. But, yeah, he's just – you could tell he was shocked and then just tried to play it off and look, you know, back to the game.
What's funny is the other guy that was sitting there that looked like
– he's like, come on, man. He did that thing. Come on, man.
There was somebody who was kind of like
– can't do that, man.
In the same social class as Rob Manfred that was just kind of smiling. Thought it was funny.
He's not a very likable commissioner.
Did he say F face? I think that's what he said.
I think it might have been.
We want to make baseball better in the
bleep face.
Easy.
In the blankety blank out blackouts. Blank face. Yeah, blank. I'm just gonna stop.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. 865-288-3131, your number to get on the program this afternoon. It's draft night. We're getting ready for the first ever fan-run White Claw Hard Seltzer Studio Draft Party.
War Room.
Marcus and Tucker hosting the War Room starting at 8 right after overtime tonight. There's no Braves game, so it just works out perfectly. The boys are going to come in. Fan-run TV on YouTube. We're going to be streaming it live. You can check it out. You can watch along.
Just a cold open.
Boys are going to be outside eating pizza and wings, getting smashed.
Smash!
Yeah, that last part's definitely true. We may have some stuff for them.
So, check that out. We've got Tennessee baseball tonight. Missouri is in town, and they're going to get the Missouri boat ride. You know what a Missouri boat ride is, Tucker?
Can't say I do.
Don't worry. It's not one of those Urban Dictionary Cleveland roof box type things. No, it's
the upper decker.
You never seen The Outlaw Josey Wales?
I've not.
Huh. A contemporary classic of American cinema.
It's pretty good.
Clint Eastwood at his finest.
Special effects for those gun battles back in those days. Blood flying everywhere.
Dying ain't no way to make a living, boy. Lots of great one-liners in that one.
Those films look incredible still to this day. They're filming that Panavision, on 70mm.
Fantastic.
It's gorgeous.
Mm. Great.
And all this digital crap you and your generation do now with your fancy phones and your digital cameras.
You have never bragged about anything more in your life than when you got that phone
you know what, Bear?
3 weeks ago.
It was your generation that introduced it to us.
He turned that back on you.
The phone.
It wasn't my job. The boomers did.
Boomers. No, he's talking about Alexander Graham Bell of your generation. It was an old joke.
Doesn't really make
sense. Who's that? Steve Jobs?
Your generation didn't have to give us phones.
or the Alexander Graham Bell? Are you saying that
should
he's,
give me a sweet
he's that old? That's an old joke.
Mollycoddled you people. Yeah, I said you people. Young people.
You people.
Candy bar generation. Soft. Participation trophies.
Well, I've never heard. What's candy bar generation? What's that? What does that mean?
Yes. They're soft.
I'm not a believer in participation trophies.
Surprising. Most of you people are.
You people?
Yeah.
The people younger than me are.
Were you a millennial?
Technically. I don't know. There's a couple different scales, and sometimes I make it, and sometimes I don't.
You ain't Gen X. You aren't part of my generation.
Okay.
Russell's very loosely affiliated with us. He's on the tail end.
I have nothing to do with your generation. Don't drag me into it.
Technically, buddy, you are a member of my generation. You're just born in the last year of it.
I'm
65
the generation
to 80, my friend.
Of the individual.
65 to 80.
Smallest minority of all. Coming up, the top five at five. Tucker Harlan will get you updated. Rick Barnes reeling in a big one. Literally, figuratively, we got a big one today out of the transfer portal. Will there be more transfer portal magic for Rick Barnes and company? A couple of big fish still out there, but the bigger picture starting to take shape, starting to come into
roster
view.
Starting to solidify. I'm really looking forward to seeing Dubar.
Lanier, man, you can moneyball this situation, as we've said. If you look at Vescovi and Connect, if you're getting 30 points a game out of those two, can you get 30 points a game out of Dubar and Lanier?
Possibly. I like our chances of that.
Possibly. To figure out a way to replace a lot of offense, but so far, so good for Rick Barnes and the Basketball Vols. Tucker will have the latest on that coming up for you. Top five at five, just around the corner. It's more Fan Run Radio after the break.